So for 42 years now, I have been in the church. My mom and dad, God bless them, saw to it that I was raised right. You know, I was born on December 22nd. You know, I think I was at Christmas Eve service that year. You know, I mean, we were church going folk, and if anything was happening at the church, we were there. We were there. And I was in the church, I was in the church and with church people every chance I got, and I liked it. Church was fun, and what I mean by that was that the church was where my friends and I, it's where we got to hang out and cause a little mischief, right? I told you a couple weeks ago about the mailbox incident, which I wasn't part of, but that's the kind of stuff that mischief we like to do and get into. But we did. I liked church. I liked youth group. I liked hanging out with friends. And church was just a great place to do that. And along the way, I found Jesus. In the 42 years of my church going, it always seemed that the church needed to label something and give it a purpose, you know? I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about, but anytime the catch-all for doing something that we didn't have another label for was the word fellowship, right? It was a little magic little word, you know? Fellowship. Let's get together and shoot each other in the head with paintballs, you know? Let's go paintballing for some fellowship, right? It was just this magic word that you could do anything you wanted, and it was Christian somehow, the word fellowship. You know, let's go to McDonald's and have some fellowship. Let's go to, you know, it kind of like, well, we don't really know what it's for. It just seems like it's going to be fun, and we'll be with church people there, so let's call it fellowship. You know, the biblical word for fellowship is so much more full and is so much more rich than merely doing stuff or goofing off. It really is. Can I give you a picture for the biblical word fellowship? The word koinonia in Greek. Here's a biblical picture. You guys ready? God walking with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. That's the picture, right? It's not paintballing. It's not goofing off. It's not going to grab a bite to eat. It's not hanging out with your friends and playing video games and having a little Devo. It is that picture. Does anybody want that picture right now? Anybody want to trade in the ice for a walk, a stroll in a garden with God? I do. How in the world have we gone from that picture to just calling the room that we have potlucks in the fellowship hall, right? And there's nothing wrong with potlucks, and they are a great way to have fellowship. We're going to have one after church today, and I'm looking forward to it. There's like 3 helpings of beef coming, right? But fellowship is so much more. It's so much more than hanging out. It's so much more than a meal. Ever since Adam and Eve disobeyed God and broke that fellowship, all of creation has been trying to get it back. That idea of fellowship, that idea of koinonia. Romans 8:19-23 says, "For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who His children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as His adopted children, including the new bodies He has promised us. You see that? What all of God's creation, what all of us who are in Jesus, and even those who don't know Him, even those who are lost, all of God's creation is yearning, yes, even groaning, for the time that God will give us new bodies. That creation will be new. This is a picture of Heather and I going through the airport. See, like Heather, a couple weeks ago, went to the doctor because she wasn't getting much better from her double pneumonia. And the doctor said, well, there's still pneumonia. You still got it. And they took an x-ray and there was stuff in the lungs and all that. And they put her on another round of antibiotics. And the doctor told her, don't go to church. Don't go to Walmart. Right? He didn't say don't go to a busy airport with, you know, bajillions of people in it. But because she... We didn't want her to get even more sick. We threw a mask on her, and I pushed her around in a wheelchair all over the airport, which is really nice because they let you go to the front of the line to get on the plane. That was kind of fun. But there she is, and you know, there's a selfie that she took of us on our trip, and I'm telling you right now, being 42. And having waking up and being like, why does this hurt? I long for the day when God says, here. Here's the new body. You know, the one that Joe and Terry and Wayne and Dale, the one that they're all experiencing right now. That's going to be amazing. I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait for it to be that time. But in the meantime, we wait and we hope and we do some work. And once again, we will get to walk with Him in His garden. I can't wait for that day. I cannot wait. That is true fellowship. The Greek word koinonia is such a powerful one, and it is a call for unity. Unity with Jesus. Unity with the church. That's what we're talking about. Fellowship. This morning we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 1, 4 through 17, and see what we can glean from it in the words of Paul to the church in Corinth. If you will, read along with me that first chunk there, verses 4 through 9. I always thank my God for you and for the gracious gifts He has given you, now that you belong to Christ Jesus. Through Him, God has enriched your church in every way, with all of your eloquent words and all of your knowledge. This confirms that what I told you about Christ is true. Now you have every spiritual gift you need as you eagerly wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be free from all blame on the day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. God will do this, for He is faithful to do what He says, and He has invited you into partnership with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So the first thing I want us to see here is this, is that we are called to fellowship with Jesus. You know, that whole walking in the garden thing that Paul says, that everyone is longing for, Paul says everyone's longing for this. We get that. We get to do that. Do you know that God has called all of us into a relationship with His Son? Every one of us. God has called every one of us to have a relationship with Jesus. Scripture tells us that the way that we see God, that the way that we have access to God, how do we do that? By having a relationship with His Son, Jesus. John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and that Word was Jesus. And that Word, Jesus, was with God, and that Word, who's Jesus, was God. Then John tells us in 1 John, "My dear children, I am writing this to you so that you will not sin, but if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of the world." That Jesus, the one that is righteous, the one that is without sin, the one that was in the beginning and was God and is God, that Jesus, He wants to fellowship with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to walk with us, to talk with us, to hear about our day and our struggles and our triumphs. He loves us. He loves you. If you have not begun a relationship with Him yet, what are you waiting for? Really, what are you waiting for? He loves you. There is not any better decision that you can make today than to begin a relationship with Jesus. There is nothing more important. There is nothing better. Jesus, King of the universe, wants to begin a relationship with you. What are you waiting for? He loves you. He can't wait to hear from you. He already knows you. He already knows your flaws, your failures, your struggles. You can't hide them. And He wants you, despite it all. Get to know Him. He gives you access to His Father. He gives you access to a forever future and an amazing life right here, right now. Maybe someone in here today needs to hear that. Maybe someone in here today needs to hear only that. And you can just stop listening and just think about that. Don't waste another minute. Let's talk. Let's get you on a path to having a relationship with Jesus. Verse 10. "I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church, rather be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. For some members of Chloe's household have told me about your quarrels, saying," or, "my dear brothers and sisters, some of you are saying, 'I am a follower of Paul.' Others are saying, 'I follow Apollos,' or, 'I follow Peter,' or, 'I follow only Christ.' Has Christ been divided into factions? Was I, Paul, crucified for you? Were any of you baptized in the name of Paul? Of course not. I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius. For now no one can say that they were baptized in my name. Oh yeah, I also baptized the household of Stephanas, but I don't remember baptizing anyone else. For Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the good news, and not with clever speech, for fear that the cross of Christ will lose its power." The second thing I want us to see is that we are called to fellowship with each other. Listen to verse 10 again. "I appeal to you, my dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ," listen, "to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church, rather be of one mind, united in thought and purpose." I'm tired of all the arguing. Arguing about politics, arguing about religion, arguing among Christians. It makes me weary. I got rid of the Facebook app on my phone, and that was a great choice. I only use it now when I pull it up on a browser. And it has been really freeing. I read my Bible more. I don't mindlessly scroll through it on my phone. It's nice. Paul is giving us a nice little admonition here. He's saying, stop arguing. Stop fighting. Be united. Have unity. Agree to disagree in love. Now, if there's some really important sin issues that need to be addressed, by all means, address those things. Work those things out. Doesn't mean we have to be light on sin. But you know what? What the world doesn't need is to watch us fight it out and tear each other down and destroy each other. That's not what the world needs. John 13:35 says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Other translations say, yes, they will know that you are Christians by your love, right? Arguing, fighting, hating each other, the world sees enough of that. And we are supposed to be different. We are to love each other. We are all to be part of God's church. The Lutherans, the Methodists down the street, we're all supposed to be united in love. The Christian church and the Baptist church in the next town, we're all supposed to be unified under the banner of Jesus. Do we all agree? No. Listen, there are differences in this church and the church down the road and the church over there. There's differences. We all believe little bit different things. But here's what's really important. Who do you say Jesus is? Who is He? If you say He's Lord and Savior and that you were only saved by Him, we can all be united. We can all be friends. In fact, we can all be family. And we better get used to it, because you know what? There's going to be Lutherans and Methodists and Baptists and Catholics. There's going to be all kinds of people in heaven when we get there. And if you think that it's just going to be us, got a whole surprise coming, right? Unified. United under the banner of Jesus. One of the founding fathers of this denomination said, we are not the only Christians, but we are Christians only. I love that quote. We're not the only Christians. Us in this room, we're not the only ones. But we are Christians only. So number three, we are called to unity for the sake of the world. Look at verse 17. Paul says this, to preach the good news, that's why he's been called to preach the good news, not with clever speech, for the fear of Christ would lose its power. Paul had a job. And that job was to spread the good news of Jesus. That was Paul's job. And the way he chose to do it was he went to a town and he started a church, and then he moved on and he would write letters back to that church, and the church in Corinth was the same. And he would help them work out their problems and their struggles, but he would move on and he would go to another church because his job, what he saw his purpose in life, is to spread the good news about Jesus Christ. And guess what? Paul's job has become our job. Your job is to spread the good news about Jesus. We don't have time to fight and to argue and to bicker with anybody, with each other, with the world, with this, with that. We don't have time. Because at some point, and I hope soon, at some point Jesus is coming back. And when that happens, it's all over. And we have people that we know and that we love that don't know Him. And if they don't know Him, they don't get Him. How can we argue and bicker when there's people out there that are dying and going to hell? How? Unity under the banner of Jesus for the sake of the world. Can you imagine if Bowen Christian Church were unified? They were unified in their mission to seek and save the lost in the name of Jesus. Can you imagine if people looked at us and said, that church, man, they know how to love. That church, they know how to care for people. That church, they bring people meals on Thanksgiving. That church, they throw big parties and mute for no reason. That church, they're so good at loving each other. Maybe they have something that I need. What if you personally were known because of the way that you loved? And the way that you refused to argue and bicker and get drawn into silly arguments, and instead you let people know, I love you, and Jesus loves you. What if that was your thing? Do you think you might make a difference in the world? I do. Tomorrow we celebrate a man who chose love over hate. And look how he's known. Look how he's remembered. Guys, we need to be unified. We need to love. And we need to show the world God loves them, and He died for them.